Thank you for having me in to share this morning. The where and the how and the why are kind of a story I won't take a lot of time to share because I have some important things to say. But a decade ago, your church and some families in your church poured into their kids, and your church poured into those kids. And it was a band called Traced Image. And my kids were young and impressionable, and they stalked Traced Image everywhere they played. And them stalking it means that I got to be the chauffeur and stand at the back of some very loud venues drinking coffee while kids worshiped and celebrated with Christian music. And I so appreciated that. Fast forward a bunch of years, I'm driving by and I went, that's that church. And I should probably call that pastor guy. I didn't know who pastor guy was, but I said, I should call that pastor. And so I did, and I don't know, we don't always understand why we're prompted or led to do things, but I pursued it, and we started to discuss things and just say, hey, how can I pour back into this church that has blessed my family and my kids? So first of all, those parents that I know you're probably still in the room here somewhere, good on you, but as a church, you never know what impact you're going to be having as you take on these new ventures. And whether it's a club or a group or a band or a film series in the basement or whatever the ministries and activities as this church lives and breathes and is the hands and feet of Jesus in this community, you don't know where that's going to spill out. And it spilled out and touched my life. And as a parent to a parents, thank you for that. My name is Mike. I am from Northwest Calgary, which is pretty cool. I got to sleep in my own bed last night. That's very cool. And I represent an organization called Compassion Canada. I'm a singer, songwriter, worship leader. I've served as a full-time worship leader. I've served in different capacities. Right now, I'm a musician with a job. I'm working downtown Calgary, and on the weekends, I get to live out my passion for worship, for leadership, and for issues of poverty and social injustice all across Canada through the ministries of Compassion. I have written some original worship songs. You just heard a couple of them. We snuck them in. I'm not sure if you noticed them or not. If you like to have Christian music in your home, we do have CDs available at the back, and they'll be available after the service. And if you feel you'd like to support my ministry in that way, that'd be awesome. But more importantly, if you accept my challenge this morning, if you step out and take a chance on a young child in a developing country and decide to sponsor that child, we will give you one of my CDs with our thanks and blessing for partnering with us. Why would I leave my family and friends, leave the beauty of Calgary to play in Armpit, Saskatchewan, or Ontario, or wherever, go across this beautiful country of ours, sharing this message? And again, my version of a sacrifice for my ministry, well, it comes from the book of Hebrews. And I have a life verse. Now, the people that were here yesterday, thank you for coming to that few hours of talking and then rehearsing, and they've spent a lot of time with me. And so I think we should probably thank the worship team for even showing up again today and leading us this morning. Let me tell you why I do this. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, says this. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us encourage one another, especially now that his return is drawing near. And when I read that scripture, my life verse, two words jump out at me. Those ones. Motivate and encourage. See, I was a high school band teacher. Always wanted to be a high school band teacher. Since grade 9, I decided I'm going to be a band teacher, just like Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith was my grade 9 band teacher. He was awesome. I became a band teacher. That worked out. I did that for 17 years of my life, band teacher, guidance counselor in the public system. And I can tell you that this may show up a little bit. I've been a teacher, so sit up straight, get rid of your gum, okay? There is a test to follow, so pay attention. There is a subtle difference between encouraging and motivating. And in this issue that we're going to jump into today, a hard topic. I've said this probably too many times. This is not fun stuff. This world is broken. We have disparity issues. We have poverty, intense poverty issues. We have social injustices that happen all around us. What is our role in those situations? Well, this morning, For some of you, I'm going to encourage you. And for some of you, I'm going to motivate you. And here's the difference. If you have eyes open to the injustice around you, if your heart breaks when you see these situations, when you read the headlines, when you see it on TV, or you see it in person on the streets in Calgary, and you just say, I have to do something about this, and you do it, then all you need is encouragement. It's a pat on the back and just says, you know what? You're doing the right thing. That is being the hands and feet of Jesus in that situation. So I want to encourage you. It could be a mission you support. It could be you going and doing something on your own. If you are following the prompting when your heart is disturbed, you just need encouragement. And I hope this service encourages you like crazy. If you, on the other hand, either are oblivious to what's happening around you, or you harden your heart and go, oh, if I read that, I'm going to get upset, so I'm just not going to read it, or I'm just not going to talk to that person. Ooh, they're dirty, right? If you bristle at this, or if you think someone should do something about that, and then you walk away, you need motivation. And motivation is a pat just a little further south in your anatomy, okay? And so, as a teacher, I am uniquely equipped to give you encouragement and motivation this morning. It's upsetting stuff, but it doesn't have to be. And we're going to walk through some scriptures, because one thing I've learned as I get a little more seasoned, I won't say the O word, but as I get more seasoned in life, I've realized that God's word already says these things far better than the words I would put to them. We're going to read God's word this morning. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to read the white print. Together with boldness and enthusiasm, we're going to read the yellow print. Most churches can figure out pink and blue by themselves, but just in case, ladies, you're going to read the pink. Guys, you're going to read the blue, okay? That's pink. Let's just agree together, that's pink. And so this is James chapter 1, and James is talking about how to incorporate the Word of God, the living Word of God, the Scriptures into our life. How we are supposed to process Scriptures into action. That's what he's talking about. And it goes like this. Don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Ladies? But if you look, guys, this is you, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Now, we're going to get better at reading God's Word together this morning. We've got a few verses to practice on, and I just know this will come together, but wow, right? So the topic isn't social injustice. The topic is how to apply the Scripture in our life and how to actually put it into action. And within a matter of a few sentences, James lands on pure and genuine religion, taking care of orphans and widows. That's where he lands. You want to apply the Scriptures in your life, open your eyes, open your hearts. Don't just read God's Word. You must do what it says. That's the book of James. Orphans and widows, we would say the marginalized. In current society, we would talk about marginalized people. And so, yes, there still are orphans and widows among us, and we need to take care of them, but it's kind of, our thinking is a little bit expanded, because marginalized people and marginalized groups are all over us. The poor come to mind. Same deal. The poor. Homeless. Some of our First Nations communities in Canada. Marginalized. Some people with different lifestyles. Addiction issues. People in prison. In some cases, we even marginalize seniors in our society. Those people on the fringes of society, for whatever reason, that's who James is talking about. You want to put the Word of God into action? Take care of those people. And as we apply this to our life, for me, this all came together when I decided, and as a family we decided, to make issues of poverty, specifically, personal. See, I can read facts and figures. I'm a facts and figures guy. And I like to see that, and I want to know that. And I'm going to share some of them with you this morning, because we need to know what we're talking about. But the reality is, until it's personal, you're probably not going to do anything about it. 2 days ago, earthquake in Haiti, right? And it's in the media now again. Well, that earthquake in Haiti, like many events, hit the papers, stayed for a while, went away. Well, that earthquake in Haiti just about took away one of my good friends and a pastor, a pillar in this community in Calgary, Brent Trask, who's now the leader of the Alliance Church in Western Canada, was in Haiti on the ground with Compassion. A whole team of them. They just landed in Port-au-Prince, and the earthquake hit. And we almost lost several pastors from Calgary, from Western Canada. And when we heard the news, wow, it became personal. And I had a vested interest, and I followed that story. I followed every piece of news that happened because someone that I knew and loved was in that situation. We decided as a family to make poverty personal. And we did it this morning, I'm telling you, we did it through Compassion. So we decided to sponsor a little boy called Ricky in Nicaragua. And we started to write letters back and forth, and my kids got into this. They picked him off the table. It's kind of a cute story. It's not long. They come over and say, "We think this one, Dad. What do you think?" And I looked, and Ricky's birthday is my birthday. I thought, yes, I would like my birthday on the fridge. That's a good deal, right? And so we sponsored Ricky. Whatever your reasons, we sponsored Ricky. Started writing back and forth. You know, my son started drawing pictures. Ricky drew pictures back. My son has become a graphic designer and an anime graphic novel illustrator. Ricky has not. And his pictures, you had to, do you think it's this way? Do you think it's this way, right? But that's not the point. They were in relationship. Right? And this would go back and forth, and we get letters back and forth. Well, fast forward a few more years, we had sponsored more children, and I got to meet my beautiful Hilari, and she's on the left up there. And you saw her already in the video this morning, a little beacon of sunshine for us. She lives in the Dominican Republic. And Hilari's family are believers. Her dad is Christian, mom's a Christian, she's got brothers and sisters. And we got to go visit them. And that was the first time that I'd ever visited one of the children that we sponsored personally. And wow, again, just so hard to describe. But I got to meet her family. I got to see her project, her home. We spent a wonderful play day on the beach. And the Dominican beaches are beautiful. Hilari lives geographically about 20 minutes by vehicle from the beach. It's not a big island. Hilari had never seen the ocean. Hilari's family is trapped by poverty. She would likely never leave her community. She'd seen it in a book. She'd seen it on the internet because the Compassion Project, the church, has computers and a computer program for their young people. And so she'd seen that. Her sister had been to the beach somehow, sometime, but she had never been. So we got to see through a six-year-old girl's eyes at the time what that was like. And what an amazing experience as she got changed and everything. We go down to the beach, we got all our stuff, and she sees the palm trees are awesome, and the sand is so soft on her feet, and she's just enjoying it. And then she gets to the water, and she sits down, and the first wave lapped up at her toes, and she recoiled in horror because the ocean's wet. Apparently it's not wet in the pictures. I don't know what she was thinking. She's a six-year-old girl, but it's like, okay, this is scary, and then she didn't want to do it anymore. And then she sat there, and it would wash up, and she'd go a little further in, and it would wash up, and she'd giggle, and she'd go a little bit further in. And within minutes, and if those of you are parents, you know, she's like, okay, it's not that safe. You need to come back. You can't go running out into the ocean. That's not cool. We got to witness this. And we know that our faithfulness, our responsiveness in sponsoring Hilari is going to open up all kinds of things. See, now Hilari has proper clothing, education, and health care. She has a Christian tutor who walks beside her and speaks the gospel into her life. She has a pastor who I got to meet who speaks into her life, who prays for her, who works with her family. She's got hope. She's got dreams. And she's got us. And when you find an opportunity to speak into the social injustice, to reach into those situations of intense poverty, of hopelessness, and you can provide those, yes, the basics of life, the humanitarian stuff, but along with that, the gospel of Jesus' life, the transforming gospel of Jesus Christ, and bring hope into that dark situation, that's a win-win. But we're Canadian, eh? Like, we're polite. We're actually overly polite. I love watching Canadians run into each other. It's just kind of fun, right? It's like, who's more sorry? But we're skeptical, too. And we need to be, because we need to be discerning if we're going to align ourselves with a charity or with a cause or with something we feel really strongly about. We want to know that the energy, the time, the money, the resources that we're going to put there are actually going to do what we intend them to do. And I can tell you firsthand from personal experience that you will not find a group more skeptical about Christian charities than pastors. Pastors are the skeptic police of the charity world. And your pastor and your church leaders can confirm for you, compassion does what it says it will do. They're ranked in the top 1% of Canadian charities. They partner with churches, like we're doing this weekend, in developing countries here and at home and in developing countries to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. Every piece of literature you'll see will say, in Jesus' name, or something similar, because it is the gospel that's at the front. So I'm going to share a video with you before we get rolling too far, but I need to tell you this. They're not actors. And so that's your opportunity this morning. At the end of the service, one person like you, like me, by making a small sacrifice, by being faithful with what we've been entrusted with, we may not be able to change the whole world. We can absolutely change the world for one little boy or one little girl in a developing country and see what God does with that down the road. See what kind of legacy that becomes. Compassion's an amazing organization that makes it easy for us to connect to these children in need. Three simple C's. And again, when you're looking for things to support, these are things you're looking for. If it's compassion, awesome. If you're already doing something, you just want to scrutinize, right? The three C's are this. It's Christ-centered. The gospel is present. It's up front. Every piece of literature, every time you see anything from this organization, it is about Christ and sending that gospel message. The second C is it's child-focused. There's so many reasons. I don't have time to get into all the reasons why it would be child-focused, but reality is this. In situations of intense poverty here at home and overseas, children are among the most vulnerable. See, the children in that household don't get to decide whether there's money left for food or education or clothing. They're not in a capacity to make those decisions, and they are vulnerable. Christ-centered, child-focused. The third is church-based. Proud to say, every single compassion project around the world, in all the different countries they work in, is a church. It's a church like yours, like mine, but they've opened their doors to children's programs. They are allowing their hearts to be broken by what's going on in their community, and they're feeding, and they're clothing, and they're helping, and they're sacrificing. They have skin in the game, the church being the church. And so by extension, compassion is us, the church, coming alongside the church to be the church in those dark places. And through our sponsorship, with Ricky, with Hilari, with all our children, poverty has become personal. Fast forward a few years, and this last year, all of a sudden we had these tropical storms and hurricanes coming through. Where were they going to hit first? Dominican. It's like, oh no, that's where Hilari lives. That's where Elizabeth lives. And we got out of touch for a while, and I was on my knees. Those are our kids. We've got skin in the game. This affects us. It's personal. And that's what I think we need to do with these issues. Once you have it personal, you're going to do something about it. I don't know where you are financially this morning. I don't know if the thought of sponsoring a child in a developing country or going giving up all your time downtown Calgary or traveling overseas to build housing or to do different missions projects. You guys have a project, I know, in Africa. I don't know where your finances are. I don't know if this is a big sacrifice or small sacrifice, but I know this. We live in an affluent society. Here's some recent statistics from Relevant magazine. These were in January 2017, so the statistics are about a year old. Sadly, nearly half the world's population, more than 3 billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day. We are so removed from that. Half the people on this planet, $2.50 a day. Now that's US, so that's about 4,000 Canadian, but you can do the math. So I don't know where these things come from. Okay, more than 1.3 billion people, 1.3 with a B, billion people, live in what they define as intense poverty, and that's $1.25 a day, 1.3 billion people. And it doesn't get much better from there. You keep diving into the stats, it gets more and more depressing. 80% of the world lives on less than $10 a day. I pay twice that to park downtown to go to work. $10 a day. Jesus is recorded in Luke chapter 12 as saying, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. You may more closely identify with the Amazing Spider-Man or his Uncle Ben, who said, with great power comes great responsibility. It's scripture. Spider-Man, scripture. Never made that leap before? Okay. You know what? We talk about being broke. I talk about being broke. Difficult economic times, downturn. Alberta's been hit hard by low global oil prices. I'm in the oil and gas sector. We're throwing ourselves a bit of a pity party right now. But if we're honest, if I'm honest, I don't struggle with poverty, not extreme poverty. I struggle with materialism. We get caught up, and it's that I have, I want. I have, I want, I have, I want, I have, I want. I have a cell phone, but it doesn't have the right number or letter. I need a different cell phone. I have a computer, but I want a faster computer. I have a house, but I want a bigger house. I have a car, but I want a different car. I have and I want. And that is James chapter 1. At the end of that, it says, and refuse to let the world corrupt you. That's James chapter 1. It's hard. For me, this is a daily struggle. But we're not the first society to deal with this. The scriptures are full of examples. And all the way back in the Old Testament, the prophet Micah was dealing with and speaking to a society who was caught up in materialism. Now, it looked different then, but this is what he said. What can we bring to the Lord? What kind of offerings should we give him? Should we bow down before God with offerings of yearling calves? Should we give him thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? No, O people, let's read it together. The Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To do what is right, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. See, God doesn't want your money. God wants your heart. Because where your heart is, everything else just follows. If this is a personal issue for you, the other stuff falls into place. You're going to do what it takes to make that situation work. And here's how it works with compassion. There's two plans, $41 and $51 a month. $41 a month fully takes care of the needs of your child, gets them into this project, the church, all the things we just talked about, food, shelter, the tutors, the gospel being spoken to life, all of that stuff. We are so passionate at Compassion. This is one of the things that sets us apart as an organization, that $41 goes directly to meet the needs of your child, that we don't have a lot of wiggle room. And if you can afford the $51 rather than the $41, the $10 goes to urgent needs. It could be a disaster. It could be a building project of some kind. It goes to community projects, immunization or clean water or mosquito nets. Or we know all the things that are being done, but we are passionate that you have a relationship with that one child and that $41 gets funneled to help them. Here's how it really works. It's a stretch. When we sponsored Ricky, we were a young family, young kids that loved really loud music. And we didn't have extra money at the end of the month. We had extra month at the end of the money. It was the way it kind of worked, right? And we thought, you know what? This is important. We need to do this as a family. And we stepped out in faith. And God was faithful in that. And so our testimony, my testimony this morning is that it got backfilled. I don't understand the mathematical principle. I understand the biblical principle. We were faithful. And God blesses the faithful. And it was that. This morning it couldn't be easier because we're offering these children, those packages on the table, they're not representative of a project somewhere. It is that child that you can have a relationship. And you will be the only one that has a relationship with that child in a direct sponsorship manner. This is in addition to your tithe. This is not your tithe. This is over and above, out of the good things we know God keeps pouring into our lives, to awaken you love them because Christ loves you and Christ loves them. And change lives, not because we change lives, because the Spirit can work in that and the Spirit can change people's lives. We have changed the trajectory of Ricky's life. I know that because that's our little Ricky. And he was 15 there, he's 17 now. And he is a leader among the children in his community. He has hopes and dreams that he never would have had if we hadn't just been faithful with what we had and opened our hearts to be, yes, a little broken along the way. I also want to share a grander vision. I want you to see those children on the table. When you look into their eyes, I want you to not see the child. Sounds a little weird, but when God looks at us, he doesn't see children, he sees potential. He knows the plans that he has for them. They quote that scripture just like we do. And could it be that you're the answer to their prayers? It could be. And if you feel prompted, I hope you'd follow up on that. Some of you are invested in things heavily already, blessings on you, and I hope this has been an encouragement to you. You know, God doesn't need us to build his kingdom. You know that? He partners, he allows us to choose to partner with him because it's good for us. Right? He doesn't need us to do it. This is the more invested you get, the more connected you get, that blessing comes through and you are empowered and you do more and it's just a cycle that works for kingdom purposes. So you have an opportunity this morning to be part of what God is doing in this world here at home and overseas. And I want you to see a story. And so this is the last beauty of it is we don't have to do the heavy lifting. Heavy lifting, God takes care of. This is a huge, huge issue. We're not equipped for this. He's the one who moves mountains. That's not the call on our lives. The call on our lives is to be faithful and be responsive with what we've been entrusted with. And as we do that, as we step out in faith and partner with God where he's already moving, amazing things happen for the kingdom. The opportunity this morning, if this prompts your heart, could not be easier. We've brought the children in need to you. They're faces are on those packages on the table at the back. And we have Harvey and Penny, dear friends of mine, Judy, dear friend of mine, that are willing to answer any questions that you might have and help you in that process. And if you decide to sponsor a child this morning, we'll give you one of my CDs with our thanks and our blessing. We are the hands and feet of Jesus to this world. The scriptures are abundantly clear what a Christian response is in the face of social injustice. And so I ask you this morning, if you feel that, to step out in faith. If you have something, and I know you've got missions projects, here's double down. If there is something that stirs your heart, if there's anything in life that you walk across and you say, someone should do something about that, that could be the Holy Spirit saying, you should do something about that. And it may involve going to another country. It may involve sacrificing, selling something you have to give to the poor. I'm not going to make it easy for you this morning. I'm not going to tell you it's a cup of coffee a day or whatever analogy you come up with. That is between you and your Maker. We know what we need to do. We need to step out in faith and go into this world that is hurting and be the light, be ambassadors of grace and truth and love. Some of us have some hard conversations to have.